Saw last week that manna was literally the showers of God rained down from heaven, and the gathering of those blessings would be a test. Whether or not God said they will walk in my law or no. This is Exodus chapter 16. And we would think of the hunger as being a test, but so are the blessings. When God gives them a blessing, will they use the blessing as he stipulated, or will they abuse it? And so I made these statements that it's not the job that you lose, but the one that you get that may be the test. It's not the shunning, but the notoriety that you may receive that could be the test. It's not the game you lose, but the one you win. It's not the poverty, but the prosperity that is the test. So I want us to look more deeply at the test itself. And I want us to look at the days of gathering, the test, as it had to do with the days of the gathering. So here in Exodus chapter 16, let's start with verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then we see the days of the gathering as God specifies them in verses 4 and 5. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So there's the test. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then you read on in this passage, and you read in the later verses what time of day they would do this gathering. Look at verse 7. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. Down to verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. But now notice this. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So here's the thing. It was available in the morning, but not all day. It was available in the morning. The sun would come up and the sun would melt it. So it had to be gathered in the morning before the heat melted it. This required the work, the effort, the labor of each individual. Look at verse 16. That every man, according to his eating, was to gather, according to the number of their persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. So it required at least one member of the family to gather for everybody. So I think God is here early teaching that if any would not work, he shouldn't eat. There's no welfare. If somebody slept in too long, well, what happens? The manna's gone. And it makes me think of Proverbs 6, 9 through 11. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. Or I might add, so you're going to lose your manna when you don't get up in the morning. So it was specified as in the morning. It was specified as daily. Verse 4 says it would be given every day, but it later says with one day accepted. So what God did for them daily may be the source of what Jesus later teaches in Matthew chapter 6. When he says, this is how I want you to pray, give us this day our, now not just our bread, but our daily bread. They were not to collect today that which God promised he would graciously provide for them tomorrow. Don't double up. Because if they doubled up, what would happen to the double? They'd have rotting. Gather what you need for today. Again, Matthew chapter 6 reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He says, take no thought for the morrow, For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's just amazing how you have these parallels between what is taking place here and what Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 6. So God wanted them to daily depend upon him. I read once where one rabbi's students once asked him, why didn't the Lord furnish enough manna for Israel just a year at a time? Why every day? And here's what the rabbi responded with. He said, I will answer you with a parable. Once there was a king who had a son to whom he gave a yearly allowance, paying him the entire sum on the fixed date. It soon happened that on the day which the allowance was due was the only day in the year when the father ever saw his son. So the king changed his plan. And then the son visited his father every morning. How he needed his father's unbroken love, companionship, wisdom, and giving. Thus God dealt with Israel, and thus God deals with us. Amen. You know, it used to be where people didn't have refrigeration and they had to go get the fruit on a daily basis to get things that were fresh. And you begin to lose that daily dependence upon God. We need to be reminded of our daily dependence upon him. So there we see that it was specified, that it was morning, that it was daily, and it's described, this food is described in verses 14 to 15. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrosts on the frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. What's interesting about this is that name is not actually given here in verse 15. For they wist not what it was, and Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. In the King James, the word manna is actually the transliteration of the Hebrew word. So what you're actually reading there is the Hebrew word, manna. Manna. And it literally means, what is it? So let's read it again that way. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, what is it? For they wist not what it was. What is this that is on the ground? And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. So when somebody would serve a dish and you didn't know what it was, then you can just talk in Hebrew when the next time you go to somebody's house and you don't know what it is, you can say, manna. What is it? And teach them a little Hebrew. Well, the name continues in chapter 16 and verse 31, where again you see the word manna, and each time you could just translate it, what is it? But I'm getting to another point here. And not only do we have the days of the gathering specified, you have the days of the gathering violated. Look at verses 26 and 27. The Lord instructs, in verse 26, 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. So even before the law was given, and that takes place in chapter 20 of Exodus, God here instructs in anticipation that there's going to be a special day I want you to set apart, and it's the Sabbath day, the seventh day. But just in case God didn't mean what he said, look at what happens in verse 27. Okay, they already know on the Sabbath, it's not going to be on the ground. But look at what this dude does in verse 27, or some dudes. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Well, what had they been told? That you won't find any on this day. On that day, the seventh day, there were some who were seeking what God said would not be there. So it got me to thinking, why is it that we are inclined to seek what God says will not be there? I started thinking about instances in the Bible where we seek something that we are not to seek, Because God says there's no satisfaction in it, or you're not going to find it. I think of in the New Testament when they came to the tomb and the two angels were standing there. And the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you." None of them had believed the resurrection. Had they believed in the resurrection, they wouldn't necessarily have gone to the tomb. They may have sought elsewhere. Well, wonder where he would be since he's resurrected, but they didn't. They went back to the place where he was laid, as if that's where he still was. God had told them there would be a resurrection. Jesus had told his disciples, "I will rise from the dead the third day." We sometimes seek satisfaction in money. And yet we're told in Ecclesiastes 5:10, "He that loveth silver," money, shall not be satisfied with it." We sometimes seek fulfillment and satisfaction in what God has already told us. You're not going to get satisfaction there. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, here's that chapter again that's kind of a parallel to this chapter. He said, you know, there's certain things that the Gentiles seek. They want to know, where's my clothing going to come from, and where's my food going to come from, and where's this going to take place? And he says down in verse 33 of chapter 6, you know, seek ye first, what? And then what's going to happen to those things that you've been seeking for? All those things are going to be added unto you. And yet we seek the things that God has already said you don't need to be seeking for. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God takes care of those things that we think we as the Gentiles must be seeking. Seeking what God already said would not be there is doubting God. That's what we've got to remember, that doubting God is displeasing God. So look at verse 28. "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you or ye to keep my commandments and my laws?" That tells me that this is displeasing. Why? Why don't you just listen to me? I said there wouldn't be anything there. And yet these some went out and sought it anyway. Let's not seek, folks, what God has said won't be there. Let's seek what he tells us to seek. And the main thing that I always remember is that passage that I've already quoted. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Father, may we not be as these children of Israel who kept seeking God.